Good afternoon. This is Brother John Osborne here at the Landmark Baptist Church Assembly here at WYRN 1480 AM. And we're so glad you've joined with us to hear more from God's holy word. Before we go into Zechariah chapter 8, we got to go to Romans 11 to set up our understanding to see why Zechariah chapter 8 says what it does. You'll read in verses 1 through 3 where the Lord has a great jealousy for Jerusalem. And we preached a message last week to set us up for Romans 11. We mentioned the six things that need to keep in mind about Melchizedek, you know, to show us that Israel does have a future, and that included Melchizedek. And where Melchizedek was a king at, and May 14th, 1948, the reviving of the Israeli nation, bringing it back to God, and the ministry of John the Baptist. And so we cover those things. And so now we're going to go into Romans chapter 11, and we're going to go through this chapter, and hopefully we can get done. I'd like to get done this week, but maybe it might take a couple weeks. Romans chapter 11, and we're going to see where that the title of this message is going to be Israel is blind, not dead. Or we can put Israel is blind, but not dead. It says in Romans chapter 11, verse 1, this is Apostle Paul writing. He says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So Paul's making it clear that the fact that he is saved as a Jewish man proves that God is not done with the nation of Israel. He asked this question, hath God cast away his people? And he's talking about the Israeli nation, the Jewish people. And he says, God forbid. And even though the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write, God forbid, we find many today preaching the very opposite of what this verse is saying. They're preaching the very opposite of what Paul was inspired to write when he said, God forbid. They say God has, but Paul said, God forbid. In other words, God has not cast away his people, the Jewish people, the Israeli nation, forever. He said, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin, as we saw last week. What was the purpose of May 14th, 1948, when David Ben-Gurion stood in Tel Aviv on the world stage and presented the United Nation of Israel to the world? What was the purpose of that if God's done with the nation of Israel? Romans 11, verse 2 says, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. There it is. God's word says, this is the Holy Spirit saying, God has not cast away Israel. Forever. He's not done with them. And yet so many believe, and I believe there's a lot of Reformed Baptists that believe that God is done with Israel and all the promises that belong to the Jewish people and the Israeli nation now belongs to what they call the church. And there's no such thing as the church. When you talk about the church, you have to give a locality. The church at Ephesus, just like you read seven times in Revelation chapters 2 through 3. And so there's no such thing as the promises of Israel being given to any other institution. The promises of Israel belongs to Israel. And we saw there last week, I believe the basis of the message, the scripture I used, was over in 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 32 says, give none offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Don't get these three separate entities mixed up, is what Paul was inspired to write to the Corinthian church. He's writing to Roman saints, and I believe also a church. People say, how do you know that? Well, he dealt with baptism in Romans chapter 6, and only a church can baptize. So God hath not cast away his people Israel. Which he foreknew. He's always known Israel as his wife, as his choice nation. And it says, don't you know what the scripture saith of Elias or Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. That's in verse 2 and 3. Elijah thought that he was the only one left behind. You can read about Elijah and this time in his life in 1 Kings 19, verse 10. But God assured him, he said in verse 4, but what saith the answer of God unto him? And he said, God said, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. And so Israel had reached a terrible time in her life where that she was actually murdering the preachers of God, the prophets. There was a time she did not love the Lord. And so this shows us that individuals can get to this place. They may not kill the Lord's preachers, but they can become very backslidden. The Lord's churches, each of his local blood-bought Baptist churches, can get out of fellowship with the Lord. The church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, starting around verse 14, had Jesus on the outside of it when he's supposed to be on the inside. And so just because Israel has been backslidden for over 2,800 years, God told Jeremiah that he was divorced from his wife, Israel. And that he also mentions, and we're going to see here in a minute, where he's going to be reconciled to his wife, which is Israel. But the Lord told Elijah, he said, I've reserved to myself 7,000 that have not bowed down. You're not the only one. And then in Romans 11, verse 5, Paul wrote, even so then at this present time also, and that's dealing with Paul's day and time, and it's dealing with our time. Even so at this present time will go all the way to the end of the tribulation period when God will bring Israel back to himself. But Paul wrote, and by the inspiration of the Spirit in Romans 11, verse 5, even so then at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So God has an elect, not of just Gentiles, but of Jews, of the Jewish people. He has a remnant that's going to believe. And there's individual Jewish people that are of the elect right now. The first 11 members of the Lord's church, they're in Matthew 16, verse 18, they were Jewish. Now, Judas Iscariot was a member, I was going to say on paper, but that's a term we use today, but he was not a true member. He was a false member, but the Lord had him there as a member to show us that Satan can get into the Lord's churches and even into the pulpits. He can get his men in there. But Israel, there is a remnant of Jewish people that's going to be saved after the rapture. And as I said, there's individual Jewish people that are saved, but there's many Jewish people that, even though they're of God's elect nation, individually they are dying as unbelievers and going to hell. Now, if you want to read about the remnant that's going to be saved, you can go to Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 through 8, and you can read about the 144,000 that's going to be saved after the rapture. And God's going to seal, he's going to save, he's going to seal 12,000 out of each tribe, out of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And they're going to be his preachers. Over there in chapter 14, verse 1 through 5, says in chapter 14, verse 4, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. These 144,000, I am convinced, God teaches that he saves through the preaching of the word. Either God's going to save them as he preaches to them, or he's going to have Enoch and Elijah, who will be the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11, the two prophets. They're going to be the first to save people from what I've seen in my script, in my study of the scriptures. That's going to show up after the rapture. They're going to be brought out of heaven. Both of those men were taken to heaven. They're in a special place up there waiting to serve their purpose, and then they are yet to die. These are the only two that have not died as of yet. Enoch is about 4,700 years old, and Elijah is about 2,700 years old. And these two are going to be murdered when they have finished their course. You can read all this in Revelation chapter 11. And then after the 144,000 Jewish virgin men are going to be sealed in Revelation 7, verse 1 through 8, if you look at verse 9 through verse 17, there's going to be a great multitude of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues that's going to be saved. And John did not know in verse 13 of Revelation 7, one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Where did they come from? And John said in Revelation 7, verse 14, I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. In other words, you know, I don't, but you have the answer. And the elder said unto him, these are they which came out of great tribulation. This is talking about the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, when the Antichrist is going to turn on Israel and start murdering God's saints at an unprecedented rate. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So John didn't know who these saints were because they came out of a dispensation that's not connected to the Old Testament or the New Testament. They came out of that 7-year dispensation known as Daniel's 70th week. And you see, the New Testament, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So these two testaments are connected to each other. But John did not know who these saints were that came out of that 7-year dispensation known as the 7-year tribulation period. So there is an elect of God. The nation of Israel is going to be brought back to God because there's going to be a great number of elect of God that are Jewish that's going to make up the nation of Israel that's going to be brought back to God. A lot of people don't want to believe in the doctrine of election, but right there it is. In verse 5, a remnant according to the election of grace. You say, well, that's just for the Jewish people. Well, not so. You got to keep in mind that when God saved Abraham, Abraham was a Gentile because that's all there was Gentiles. There was no such thing as Jewish people until Genesis 17 when Abraham circumcised, when he circumcised himself and all the men, and even those that were proselytes that were men had to circumcise themselves. And you read in Genesis 17 where he even circumcised Ishmael, who was not of the promised seed. That doesn't mean Ishmael wasn't saved, but it was just that he was not the promised child. That's what I meant to say. But every one that was a male that was part of Abraham's family, they had to be circumcised. And that circumcision was a token or a sign of being a covenant people. You go to Romans chapter 9, and you'll find where that it says in Romans 9 verse 11, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And so God makes it very clear. Look at Pharaoh in verse 17 of Romans 9. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose, have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Verse 18 of Romans 9. Therefore hath he, speaking of God, mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. And so, and then you go on, if you want to see, now that's dealing with Jacob and Esau being Jewish, but if you want to read about Gentiles being part of the elect, let's just go on over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 real quick. This is written to the church, the local ecclesia at Ephesus in a Gentile world. There were Jewish members there, but there were also Gentile. That's what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 through about 18 is all about. There was a division in the church there between the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers. And so here we see in Ephesians 1, verse 3 through 5, that Gentiles are of the elect of God. It says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us," not just the Jewish people, "with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now listen to verse 4 of Ephesians 1. "According as he," God the Father, "hath chosen us." That's for those, when those Jewish believers in this church and Gentile believers in this church at Ephesus read this, or when they heard it read, they knew it applied to them. "According as he hath chosen us in him," in his Son, Christ Jesus, "before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Verse 5, "having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Verse 6, "to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." So there we see where right now, and we're going to see this either in this message or in the next one, we're going to see where there's Jewish elect and Gentile elect. Even Jesus said in the book of John, "other sheep I have which are not of this fold," talking about the Jewish fold. "Them also I must bring," talking about out of the Gentile. He's got a Gentile fold and a Jewish fold of sheep, and they're all of the elect of God. And so the nation of Israel is an elect nation, but that does not mean every Jewish person is an elect. There's a difference between the nation and the individual Jewish person. And so God calls election through the Apostle Paul in Romans 11, verse 5, the election of grace. And that's what election is. Election is an act of grace. Had God not elected a people, Jewish and Gentile, to be saved, there would be nobody saved. Because when the fall took place, when the fall of man took place into sin, man's original sin in Genesis 3, verse 6, that includes the Jews and the Gentiles in God's omniscient mind. We all sin, Jewish people and Gentile, the whole race, all of Adam's race sinned in the garden. God saw each one of Adam's race individually and collectively stand there and eat that fruit that he told Adam and us through Adam not to eat. And we made ourselves lost. And had God not had an elect, had he not shown grace and chosen a remnant of people, of people out of the mass of humanity, we would have nothing to look for but the fires of hell. Now, Paul in verse 6 of Romans 11 begins to make the difference between grace and works. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? In other words, God's wanting us to understand that our salvation began before the world began, not before the world started, before Genesis 1, verse 1. That does not mean that we have always been saved. I've heard some say that they were never lost. Well, then you've never been saved. Just because God's always had his elect does not mean they've always been saved. Election is unto salvation. Election, you've been elected to experience the new birth. That's one way of looking at it. And not all have been elected. A great many of the mass of humanity, the great majority of them, have not been chosen to be saved. And so if you're saved, you need to count it a blessing of God. A lot of saved people will fight the doctrine of election. It's taught right here in the Bible, but they will fight it. But they're going to learn about it once they get to heaven. But God has revealed this precious truth to many of his saints, especially in his blood-bought Baptist churches. He has revealed to them, and even many outside of his blood-bought Baptist churches that are saved, he has revealed to them the doctrine of election. There's many saints that understands they were chosen to be saved at an appointed hour, Acts 13, verse 48. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And so there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And this is why that the nation of Israel is not going to go out of existence. God has an elect of Jewish people in the future, after the rapture, that's going to be saved. And he says, if it's by grace, in verse 6, it's no more of works. We go to heaven because we were chosen before the world began, and then God birthed us into his kingdom. John 3, verse 3. Jesus said, except a man be born again, that includes women, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so, let me turn over real quick. I want to make sure that I quoted that verse correctly. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, and that includes women, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the reason why it says man is because the woman came from the man. So the woman is covered. When it says, except a man be born again, that's also saying, except a woman be born again. But now, there's people who are truly saved that believe that they can lose their salvation. And that there are people that have been saved that have gone to hell. That is an impossibility. That would mean that God failed. If God chose a person to be saved and then they don't end up in heaven, that's God's fault. Because we did our part. We made ourselves lost. And so it's God that must do the saving and the securing and the keeping. And if it's based upon man, there will be no nation of Israel in the future. Because none of us can get ourselves saved or keep ourselves saved. Grace and works are two different things. Works comes after grace. We find that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. Listen to Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now here's where works follow salvation. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You don't become a workmanship until after you've been saved. You don't work, you don't do good works that's pleasing to God until after you're saved. You can't do anything that's pleasing to God before you're saved. And I mean that literally. You cannot do anything. So verse 6 says, and if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. In other words, grace is grace and work is works. For those who believe you got to be baptized, you must be baptized to be saved. That's a work. You're putting baptism in front of the finished work of Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection, and his eternal priesthood. It is a sin. It would be a sin on God's part for Jesus to be in heaven after he's died for those the Father gave him, John 17, verse 2, for him to be representing some who do not make it. If it's just one that does not make it, that he's representing, then his priesthood is no good. And he's a liar. But everyone that he's representing in heaven right now that he died for is going to be in heaven. Not one is going to come up short. What a terrible thing for Jesus to be representing a person that does not make it. That means that his representation is of no good. It has no power. But it does have power, and it is good. It's eternally good. It secures those that he died for and that he has saved and those that he will save. His representation secures them along with his blood and his love. Verse 7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. This is explaining why there's some Jewish people saved and not all. The nation of Israel became blind when they rejected Jesus Christ. When he was standing before Pilate at the judgment seat, and they said, give us Barabbas. And they said, concerning Jesus, crucify him, crucify him. That is when, in verse 8, it says, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear, unto this day. Now, Jesus said, I believe it's in Matthew 13, verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Only the elect of God, after they have been saved, their eyes have been blessed, and their ears have been open to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Isaiah spoke about this long ago. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 through 10, it says here, God in Isaiah sees the Lord in heaven. In verse 8 of Isaiah 6, Isaiah says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, this Isaiah speaking, here am I, send me. Every God-called man has this desire. Verse 9 of Isaiah 6, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Verse 10 of Isaiah 6. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Now let's look at a couple things here. This will be about as far as we get. What is it that's making the people fat, that's making their ears heavy to where they can't hear, and shut their eyes where they can't see who Jesus Christ is? The preaching of the gospel. God's using the very means of that he uses to save souls with to make the nation of Israel blind. Now, the elect of God that are Jewish people, they will believe when the hour of their salvation come, but the hour of the nation of Israel's salvation, for them, they're already saved, but for them to be revived, for the scale to be removed from their eyes, and for their ears to hear, that will be removed. The scales of their eyes will be removed. Their ears will be able to hear when they go to the top of the Mount of Olives, at the end of the 7-year tribulation period, and they see with their own eyes the wounds that they have put in Jesus, in his hands, and they ask him, where did you get these wounds in thine hands? In Zechariah 13, verse 6. And when Jesus tells them, in the house of my friends, their eyes will be open, their ears will be able to hear, and they will repent, according to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10 through 14. And so, now, today, and until the end of the tribulation period, the nation of Israel, as a nation, is not going to respond to the gospel. Listen to what John wrote in John chapter 12, verse 37 through 41. In John 12, verse 37, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. This talking about Jesus doing miracles before them. That the saying of Esaias, or Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? That's in Isaiah 53:1. And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Listen to verse 39 of John 12. Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Now, in Isaiah, let me get back over. I was going to bring out another point, which is brought out here in John chapter 12. And that is, why doesn't God want the nation of Israel to be converted right now? Because this is not the right dispensation. This is the dispensation of the church age. And that's why God said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it is verse 32 over there, give none offense neither to the Jew nor to the Gentile nor to the church of God. This is the church age. The age of Israel is coming up after the rapture. So that's when God, it's not in his plan for the nation of Israel to be converted. This is teaching dispensationism in verse 10 of Isaiah 6. We'll continue the rest of this next week. Until then, We pray that you'll join with us. This is Brother John Osmer here at the Landmark Baptist Church Assembly. Join us next Sunday at 3 p.m. to hear more from God's Word. God bless.